from you before? Well, too late. Okay. So starting later is a larger percentage of the month gone. It's Black History Month, Josh. Take it back. I don't know where you're going. It's very confusing. Agreed. Oh, I get it. I get it. Yeah, I mean, my thing is like February ends quick and abruptly, but like January doesn't. January seems to be 2 months long. At least it did to me. We were talking in the pre-roll. I woke up and my power was out today because there's exceptional windstorms in Vermont and it came back on after not too much time, so I was able to have coffee like a normal person. But wow, I was concerned. I was like, how far am I willing to drive? But the fact that it is now, what, double digits in February makes me feel good about the fact that I might live through this winter. So, hey, I think so. Well, yeah, I can't remember if winter actually lasts through April or lasts through May. I feel like it just starts getting muddy in April, but mostly not as cold. Oh my God. I mean, it is melty out today, which is unusual for us for February. A little bit, depending, because what can happen is. Like last night, I was out at work and then I came home in the dark and it was like with that wintry mix shit that nobody likes, like sleet and snow and maybe it's raining also at the same time. How? But then what can happen is if you get that kind of stuff or premature melt and then it freezes, like really freezes, you can just get like slick ice everywhere. Which isn't like. Anything above 20 degrees is fine because the salt works on it. But if it gets super cold and it's been melty before that, which has been known to happen, then you get this ice you can't do anything about, and that's not great. We have a lot of snow infrastructure. Right, you don't have just piles of salt in warehouses. Right. Well, and we had very dramatic last week, I think 2 weeks ago, we had a negative 20 snap for about 36 hours. Yeah. And this was my first super cold time in this house. And like, you get worried because you don't know. I'm not like super chatty with the people I bought the house from. And so, I don't know how much this is oh my God, put space heaters near all the sinks and how much it's just like, turn the heat up a little, And it turned out more like the latter than the former. But Jim was coming up, and I was like, "Look, I'm just telling you, it's gonna be cold in here. You're welcome. I'd love to have you here, but and yeah, it was pretty much stay the hell inside. It was ridiculous. But then it was over, and now it's 45, so kind of wild. 60 degrees warmer. And I'm Jessamine. Such a good name. Such a good name. Yeah, and we got the last podcast out a little later, so actually we're pretty much on target for when the podcasts actually come out. We're just a little late for recording. I do know it's not going to come out in March because now I can mix them myself. Oh, yeah. Oh. Those things are nice too. I'm sorry. Sure. It's what you're used to, and yeah. So you can heat your water to like 181 degrees or whatever. Well, I don't know. What would you be doing if you weren't very immediately drinking it? I'm sorry, I missed. Oh, I see, because otherwise you'd be steeping it for a while and the water would be cooling off while that was happening. I get it. I get it. Yeah. Yeah. This is very interesting that this is happening to you. Well, because I just got my first for this house electric kettle. Yeah, and spent, because you know, there's only so much you can do about power consumption in the house, you know, like the pellet stove goes all day and like I've got a space heater to keep the boiler from running all the time in my office and blah, blah, blah. But like one of the things is like turning on the oven range just to heat water for coffee seemed like a bad idea, right? Like it seems like there's alternatives. Electric kettles are good. Technology's pretty great with them, and so I spent a little bit of time poking around and decided to get, like, you know, not the cheapest, but like a kind of cheap electric kettle. And the biggest important part was getting one that didn't have like a blue glow LED at all times. And then it turned out the one that I bought had a blue glow LED when you flip it on. You know, and then it goes off. The thing automatically turns itself off when your water's boiling. But like, I don't know about you, but like there's some kind of blue LED that just makes my eyeballs hurt, you know? Like you look at it and it's too bright and yeah. And so this had that. It was against the rules. And once I dug into the like the Amazon reviews, I was like, oh, there's somebody complaining that the light is too bright, whereas none of the pictures even have this light in it. And so the good news was, I was like, oh, I could take it apart. I'll fix this, right? I'm a maker. And then the bad news was it required like a specific screwdriver that I didn't have. And I've got like 30 different kinds of screwdrivers. And I didn't have this one. And fortunately, my neighbor Forrest, the engineer, had it. We took it apart. We clipped the LED out. And now it is perfect. Yeah. Ah, I can't, like, I can't take a brand new thing and make it, like, ganky, sticky, like, electric tape never stays unsticky to me. Well, anything that was flat, that's how I would do it. But this is actually on the little lever that you turn it on and off with. Yeah, if it was just a little flat light, yes, absolutely, I agree. Me too. Yes, and good luck getting your, that thing, Zoo Rusher. How does ground shipping take a week from California? You're in the same time zone. Yeah. That's how much my entire electric kettle cost, but it only has one temperature. And that is boiling. So do you even have like a stovetop kettle? Like what are you doing right now in order to have tea? Hey. Good. And then it's not streaking at you as you sprint across the house. Yeah, see, I was a coffee household, so that was not part of our things. The screaming tea kettle was usually when my mom had friends over, and she would sit around and blah 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 with them. Oh, that has been a fascinating conversation that we can get back to later. Fascinating. You know, I haven't looked at jobs, and I probably should have because I am now officially, since my mother's, well, there's only one job. Since my mother's house is officially sold, I am now officially on the job market. This job is in Canada. So, Jay Chan. Yeah. Right after. Like, basically, it closed the day we were expecting it to. And especially with this recent cold snap, it has been great not to have to worry about a house that is not my own house. Yeah, I did. I ate the whole thing myself. So good. Chocolate babka is really the best. But yes, Jay Chan has one job, to be a lead product designer for a company called Perch that helps people buy houses, I think. I'm not super clear what it does, but it looks interesting. Startup environment, know about mortgage and financial services, pays pretty good, I think. And you should look at it. But then again, this job went up almost a month ago, so I'm not sure if it's still there. Yeah. Called The Perch. Oh, that's a good name for a bar. Yeah, it looks like you got a project in projects. Talk about your project. Yeah. Just because if it's a little off, you can really tell. Yeah. And so you described yourself also as repeat victim of nerd sniping. What does that actually mean? That happens to me. That definitely happens to me. Late for dinner because I'm trying to figure out the answer to this question is definitely a thing. Yeah. Happens to me more often than I care to admit. Yes, and I am familiar with it. All right, good. I have learned a thing. So, I like this project, which is a 16-minute video by Overglow, which talks about the new Dungeons and Dragons license and how the problem isn't really Dungeons and Dragons licensing, but like the problem is how capitalism kind of expands to eat everything around it. And also there's things people can do. So I have not seen it. It looks interesting. I'm interested in Dungeons and Dragons because when I do drop-in time at the library, I am there upstairs and downstairs. There are two very active D&D campaigns going on, one for little kids and one for tweens. And one of the guys who does the tween one like brings all his little figures and like 18,000 dice, and it's a very, very popular library activity. So now I've been more interested in Dungeons and Dragons and news about same. Yes. I liked only sort of conceptually at least Andrew Stevenson's Atkinson dithering, a web thing that makes your pictures look like dithered pictures, which used to be the only way we got images on the internet back in the hippie days. And so it's very, it feels very nostalgic in a way, which I guess is Sam Worm's first comment in the thread, but also was my comment when I was just looking at it. Right, right. They imply the picture without giving you all the information in the picture. Yes. Those were my top ones. Do you have other ones? Oh, rock, paper, scissors machines. If you can't read Korean, the buttons are in order. Scissors, rock, paper. Yes, month and change. Yep, if you've done a thing, you want to share it with other Mephites, projects is your place. I feel like I was mentioning in the last podcast there was something I wanted to put on projects, then I probably forgot entirely about it, and now all I have is a shadow of that memory. I didn't listen to the full last podcast the way I usually do. Like, I got derailed doing something, and almost always I listen to the whole podcast. So this was an anomaly, and so now I'm out of sorts. How does that work out with your mortgage? So windy outside. Oh, I saw this on the internet and did not see it on Metafilter. Ooh. Well, and so many of those look, I mean, essentially to me the same, you know, that I'm like, how is that one different? I mean, I guess I get it, but yeah, so cool. Well, and a whole bunch of branded stuff. So, like, you know, different companies change the way they do their security envelopes. And it's, you know, you assume they're just purchasing it from, you know, blah, 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 envelope company. And fascinating. Yeah, no, those are cool. Yeah, and the website looks nice too, which, as we were talking in pre-roll, like, I tend to not like websites, and so when I like a website, I'm always kind of pleased because I'm like, oh, this is nice. It doesn't have any of those weird upside down eight problems that, like, looks weird. This part doesn't work. That you, like, you know, can't do anything about, but still are buggy. That's how Jim and I sort of describe that kind of aesthetic thing. It's like, oh, very upside down eight. Because, like, you know how eights are a little tubbier at the bottom than they are at the top? Yeah, like your average eight is either exactly the same on the top and the bottom or bigger on the bottom. It's rare that an eight is bigger on the top. All right. Please, please let me remind you how much Blaze Ball is dead to me for exactly this kind of reason. I get that it's. Oh, well, I was actually going to mention Blaze Ball once we got to Fanfare. But so that's Jim's and my shorthand for something that aesthetically kind of is like nails on a chalkboard. You know, like, very upside down eight. All right, but I do have other stuff to talk about. One of my favorites is, you know, another sort of up my street post, which is Tiny Frying Pan talking about this page that is a slime mold for your wrist. So it's basically a little, like, kind of fake-o wristwatch thing you can get, and you can put little oats on it, and your slime mold moves around it. And, you know, it's Tamagotchi-like, and it's essentially like exploring the idea of would we feel different about our kind of, you know, all of the plastic and gadgets and stuff in our everyday life if we actually had to tend to it the way you would like a living creature. So it's really interesting, and it becomes a heart rate sensor once the slime mold has grown between the two parts. And so it's neat. And then of course there's a someone showed up in the thread being like grump. Oh yeah, and the internet on Metafilter. Oh yeah, it was just somebody who didn't read the article and then was like, this is my concerns. And like, man, really, really? But yeah, it was a fun little thread. I'm really interested in slime molds, and it's always fun to see them in new environments. I don't have that much from Metafilter this month, so. What do you mean your new Blaze Ball? Blaze Ball still exists. Oh, this. Jim watches this on YouTube. I mean, he doesn't watch it, but like he found it, saw it, and enjoyed it briefly. Right. Well, that's kind of like what Twitch and I mean YouTube to a lesser extent has available as a little community of people you can like watch dumb shit with and all be in like a little chat room with. Right. Right. Seems like more than vaguely, from what I can tell from this article. Right. Right, but it's making bad jokes about, yeah. Well, and that just seems to be what, all these like AIs just walk straight into, right? And ChatGPT's got some pretty serious guardrails around it. But I was just reading on Mastodon this week about like a way that you can like manipulate the question that you ask ChatGPT so that you can get it to take its guardrails down, because you can basically be like, lead into a statement with, hey, blah, 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 and then say what you would say if you didn't have your filters on, basically. And then it just says what it would say without the filters, and it's awful. Like, to act like it's doing, telling it to act like it's doing the things it's not allowed to do. When in point of fact, it's actually doing those things because it doesn't understand. Yeah. procedurally, which means somebody on the back end knows what all those things are in human terms. Or knows what the words are, probably, right? I mean, that's got to be... Well, and that just kind of drives home how, like, you know, the people who create these things don't care at some very real level that's a likely thing that could happen. But every time people are like, oh, we're going to use ChatGPT to, like, answer the phone or whatever, you're like, yeah, but can you get it to answer the phone and not be accidentally homophobic? Because it needs to be in order to answer the goddamn telephone. Right. Right. Fascinating. And on a list of like things I saw on Mastodon, this one I turned into a Metafilter post because it's about Scrabble. And I sent this to you special, I think, because I thought you would like it, because it's basically a guy who does data visualization for a job, basically playing Scrabble for, I don't know, a year and doing different data visualizations of how those games went. And it's not just like number stuff. Some of them are cool, some of them aren't as cool. But it's a very describey way of talking about kind of how you could represent something like this. And I just thought it was really neat and interesting. I was surprised the thread was so short because I think of Scrabble as being more of a thing, but maybe, yeah, people were like, blah, blah, blah. The what? Wondering what a live service game is. I sure was. Thank you, Zamboni. Here's the first comment. We made the game. Yeah. Staff. So it has to be big enough. Yeah. And stay popular enough. I am familiar with the problem. thread's still open. And of course, Jim made a post that I liked about the Vacuum Cleaner Defense League, which is just a one-off joke that dogs don't like the vacuum cleaner. And I feel like this is an older post. But the thing that didn't used to be here as much, I mean, because everything on the website is 3 years old, right? But there's a whole bunch of, meet the members, where it's just a whole bunch of adorable pictures of dogs talking about their feelings about the vacuum cleaner. And of course, it's all, you know, super made up, but it's a good laugh if you're interested in lots of pictures of very good doggos who very much hate the vacuum cleaner. Because I think Jim and I were talking about this because before I got my hair cut, which you may or may not have seen, but like I cut all my hair off. Ah! I have a very nice, very short haircut now, and I am so happy with it. But part of the thrill of it is I don't have to blow dry my fucking hair anymore, which is great because I don't like it, because I don't like the blow dryer the way I believe dogs don't like the vacuum cleaner. Like, it's too loud. And I just can't. I'm agitated the whole time it's on, even though it was necessary if you live in a house in Vermont in the winter that is cool, that you need to blow dry your hair once you get it wet, because otherwise you die. And I was explaining this to Jim, and he was like, I don't get it. Like, he just goes to sleep with wet hair because he's different from me. And I was trying to explain it, and I was like, you know, Vacuum Cleaner Defense League. He's like, I've never heard of this thing. And then I told him about it and showed him the website, and then he thought it was hilarious and posted it to Metafilter. Yeah. 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 I memed. I did a meme. Oh, yeah. I know all about knolling. I am a knoller. Really? I'm going to go look and now show you where on Malt Shop you should have seen me use the word before. But yes. I guess I have not used that word there, but here's a good example picture. And then taking a picture of it kind of from the top almost. Oh, knolling itself is not the picture of the thing. It's the process. Right, the Studley tool chest is the original kind of, it's a tool chest that has everything laid out like completely amazingly, and people like to take pictures of it. My father has a picture of this tool chest on the wall of his bedroom, of all things. So yeah, yeah, yeah. Which she's been in the news lately. Well, I mean, there was a little bit of thing that zipped around the internet, which is like now that she's got three kids, she kind of has given up on being super tidy. And the whole bunch of other people then showed up and were like, aha! And then other people were like, that's not what it was ever about. People just like to hate her because et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right? There's a lot of back and forth. Yeah, which I you know, thought was fairly interesting, just because I'm there for it. But yeah. Probably. I have mostly stuff from Ask Metafilter and, you know, Fanfare. That's a lot. But like without the, okay. So like it was a song and then they, but the mental. Because like pop songs that were about the product were not that unusual. Coca-Cola loved to do that. But that's not this, is what you're saying. What makes them shitty? Are they not catchy? I saw somebody talking on Mastodon about like how to write the I don't even know how to say it because I only know it from reading. Okina, the little like glottal stop piece of punctuation that's in Hawaiian. They sucked his brains out has mentioned it in the thread because a lot of people use the apostrophe, but it's not an apostrophe. It's a different thing. And it's interesting. Yes. Nobody even like flagged the Zalgo post, usually the Zalgo comment. Exactly. I'm there with you. Oh, I know Yogesh. Yogesh is in my Trivia League. I believe Yogesh is somewhere on the spectrum. Yogesh basically maintains like a list at the end of every trivia season of which questions you would know if you had read Yogesh's blog. And he literally outlines every single thing. A lot of this trivia comes up on his blog, but it's also a little bit like, buddy. Oh, this is interesting. I did not know the story. Okay. Wow, that is really interesting. And again, like I said, I know Yogesh because Yogesh is very involved in the bulletin boards on Learned League. Somehow they didn't talk about this, which seems surprising. Ah. If you need absolute time that doesn't have to do with time zones or anything else, right? Right, because you're not even sure who's maintaining those systems or, yeah. Wait, isn't this the Scrabble guy? This is the Scrabble Dataviz guy. Yes. Same guy. Da da da! Cool. That's not terrible. Okay. I like this question from Jack Bishop, whose wife really likes those fireplace videos. And she uses an app, and they're like a continually burning fire. But like the wood's never consumed, and like obviously they're on a loop, but like how does that work? What am I looking at? Like, I don't understand. Explain it like I'm five. And there's actually some really good links to where you can learn more about how that stuff works. Well, because it's fire, right? So there's ways of kind of masking a loop a little bit because there's a lot of overlapping stuff going on in the first place. But yeah, it's one of those neat, like, I didn't know I wanted to know a little bit about it, and now I know a little bit about it. A very much longer than I expected it, and I won't get into it too much as I'm not a parent. But a question from Malhouse about how to handle non-negotiable extracurriculars. So basically, they have a kid, they want the kid to play tennis. How? And you see a lot of Ask Metafilter people with their own personal feelings about what a non-negotiable extracurricular is like in the context of whatever their childhood was. And it gets clarified at least a little bit. What the original poster is actually looking for and or talking about. And then there's some actually good advice about parenting styles and ways to make this work if what you're really trying to do is, you know, help get them to enjoy, like, tennis specifically or, you know, other stuff generally. And I just thought as a non-parent, it was really interesting for me to read it about, you know, lots of different people's approach to sort of a slightly tricky question. And the other main thing I had from Ask Me besides something, because I've now, like, I finally sort of gotten over myself and now I'm sort of back involved in Ask Metafilter, not like aggressively yet, but at least I'm like looking at it regularly, which, as you'll remember, I wasn't for several months, and, you know, happy to be back there. But I have been sort of reading and noticing things at least a little bit. And this was, oh, I think there's some extra cruft at the end of that link. Da, 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 da. This was a thread by Ellenson. Basically, I'm not having trouble with the IRS, but I'm really curious how in God's name this stuff works. What is the job like? What is it like being there? Blah, blah, blah. And there's not a ton of comments. The question just went up yesterday. But there's like an interesting article about how they deal with tax returns. There's a memoir by someone who used to work at the IRS, and somebody, K.S. Chang, was a temp there for a while, and just, you know, it was more information than I thought I wanted about how the Internal Revenue Service works. Because, as you know, I spend a lot of time dealing with various taxes, and I'm always sort of curious, like, if my effort matches up with the efforts of the agency, and it appears that the IRS is still dangerously underfunded and very much in the dark ages, mainly because that's kind of the way some of that stuff needs to, I don't know, happen. And then the one I think we were gonna get to, I don't know if you had other stuff on Ask Metafilter before we do that. Okay, this was the ingredients people idea. So this was Shady Grove basically saying there's that concept of people who are, quote, ingredients people, you know, meaning you have stuff in your house, in your kitchen that you can make other things from, like, you know, basic, like, do you have, like, flour? Do you have, like, you know, baking supplies? Do you have, you know, whatever? Where did this idea come from? Can someone provide me a link? Blah, blah, blah. And so when I read this question, I was like, oh, yeah, it's just, you know, low on the food chain people. A lot of people did that when they were hippies, like during sort of the hippie era in the 70s. But then the more I read the thread, the more I realized it's kind of like an internet thing now. Like Funny Me linked to like Know Your Meme, like an ingredients household, and it's become this weird virtue signaling thing, even though, you know, I mean, I consider myself very lucky that I grew up without a lot of like food-related virtue external feelings, you know what I mean? Like my mother was a little bit like, you got to eat certain kinds of food and not other kinds of food in a mom way, but not in a like, you're a bad person if you don't, you know, eat good, eat bad, eat whatever. But I guess now it's like an online, like, ooh, ingredients household, la-di-da. Yeah, it was like a TikTok thing. And it's funny because Know Your Meme is basically like a household that only keeps stock of food uses ingredients in larger dishes such as chocolate chips, marshmallows, peanut butter, graham crackers, and dried fruit. And I'm like, what? Those are such weird examples, you know, like that's like snacks. But I think they mean, I guess, not like pre-made like cookies and candy bars and stuff like that. But like marshmallows, I don't know. Right. Well, because there's the inherent like value layer on top of the actual fact-based layer. And some people on Ask Me feel those values and other people can only see them but don't feel them, kind of. Right, like when I grew up, we were like this and like that, but now I'm this other kind of person, or maybe I'm the same kind of person. Well, and you and I, we're going to spend at least 30 seconds complaining about Carob. But like, was Carob ever supposed to be actually healthier? That was the thing I had the hardest time, because we were in a Carob household, but I had friends who were in a Carob household, and Carob was terrible. But like, I couldn't figure out if it was terrible but it was supposed to be healthier, or if it was terrible but it was just supposed to be not chocolate. Well, and it seems like margarine versus butter, like maybe healthier along one trajectory, but not less healthy in a different one. Right. Right. And there may be people who can't eat chocolate for Tierman reasons or whatever. Who knows that carob is acceptable compared to nothing, but yeah. Right. No, I'm the same way. Yeah, I didn't used to be an alternative milks person as much, but now I don't know exactly. Like, I just don't drink milk fast enough anymore. And so having alternative milks on the occasional time I need to cook with it or bake with it or whatever, like, accounting for how they're slightly different in cooking and baking, has really, and I have half and half, so that's like, it's not a no dairy thing. But yes. Yeah. Agreed. Nice. Niche, niche. It's just two people at the top of their game. Yeah. I bet we gave I was at a Library Association conference online a couple weeks ago, and we gave Dolly Parton honorary membership to the American Library Association. Yeah, for her work with libraries, and yeah, she's just terrific. Josh. Good. Sure. How nice. Well, that was it for me and Ask. I spent, you know, I'm getting back into it, but I'm not super back into it yet. But you know, did want to mention the return of Blazeball, which has a thread from about a month ago in Fanfare. Yes. Virus. Virus? Virus? Valrus? Is it L? Yes, Valrus, Ian. Yes, made a little thread. There's just not that much there, but for people who are interested in Blazeball, you should know it's going back on. And I have been working my way. I don't know if I mentioned this last month, but I've been working my way through Killjoys, which is a sci-fi series that basically started and ended a couple, like started, I don't know, 8 years ago and ended 3 years ago. And 10, it's a Canadian sort of, I don't know, bounty hunter type show. Really interesting. And it's been fun to like finish an episode, be like, oh, what did I just watch? Kind of, and then go into essentially like a 5-year-old thread on Fanfare, which is still open if I feel like chatting about something with people who maybe aren't still there and talking about it. Yeah, I finally wrapped up Leverage, I think, which may have been when I talked about last month. And I was showing up in old threads about Leverage to talk about it. Now I'm reading along with old threads on Killjoys. Well, this is a fascinating show for people who like this kind of stuff. Because it's Canadian, it means it's not like a rapey gore fest like it would be if it were American Expanse. And there's a lot of, you know, it's about like these two people, and then his brother, like it's woman to man, his brother joins, and there's a lot of sort of interesting interrelationship stuff. But then there's also just lots of I feel like I talked to you about this, but maybe I was talking to somebody else about it. There's a whole bunch of weird, interesting issues about consent. Like, not just like, oh, are we going to have sex or not? How do you feel about that? But just different, they encounter different people on different planets who are having different relationships to stuff. Like, you know, one planet is all like, you know, women who are basically chosen to be quote unquote vessels to incubate the babies of the ruling class. And at some point, like our bounty hunters are like, let's get you out of here. And a lot of the women who are like, nah, you know, it's an honor to be chosen. And I was raised to be this, and I'm actually happy to do that. And it becomes like a really interesting pivot point because you obviously get the bounty hunters like, you don't just want to be a human womb for someone else, blah, blah, blah. But then, you know, if the women are like, and they're grown women who are like, nah, I'm good. Thanks. Like, there's an essential interesting tension there. And there's a lot of those moments in the show over like the 4 seasons I've currently watched where, like, you look at someone's situation and you're like, clearly they want to be rescued from that situation. But realistically, maybe they don't. And what does that mean? And blah, 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 blah. So I enjoy it specifically for that because it's, you know, it's written by a woman, and I don't know if that's specifically why it's more like this than a lot of other sci-fi shows. But so as a result, the relationships seem more interesting to me personally. And it's neat to read along with the fanfare threads because a lot of Mephites see it similarly. So it's fun to, because sometimes it's hard to get that across to somebody who's not looking for kind of social justice themes in their sci-fi shoot 'em up show. But yeah, that was my fanfare, I think. And I'm also watching Abbott Elementary, but I haven't been too involved in the fanfare threads for that. It's fun. It's fun. Oh, neat. I do like her. Well, and I like Ryan Johnson. So yeah, good advice, because I will be wrapping up Abbott Elementary really soon. So yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Right. It was like, I'm looking for the producer of the Metafilter podcast. And I was like, what? And I didn't know where that was going. And then it was a friend of Eric's who told me, and I was just, oh, awful, gut punch. And there's, for people who were maybe in that thread early but haven't come back to it, there's a full proper obit about him posted towards the end of it that's really worth a read. Wolf Peck, that's what I've been listening to. Ah, you would like them. Hey, my morn is way, way gone. Well, I mean, it's 2:42, so yeah. Hey. I love it. I think that's nice. I appreciate it. As you know, I appreciate you. It's fun to what? How's that again? Oh, my self-sabotaging little buddy. You're doing so nice. You should probably stop talking. At least you should. See you next month.